Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Well, we've been sheltering in place for a while now. I know I've been crossing off items on my Netflix list, and we're all working through our to-do list. So today on Studio Tulsa, we're going to hear some ideas for ways to pass the time at home. We'll hear from Chuck Foxon at the Circle Cinema about the things he's watching and how the Circle is coping in a time of shutdown. But first, we're going to hear from the Tulsa City County Library's Rebecca Howard, who is our new book reviewer here on Studio Tulsa, and she also contributes to the station's e-newsletter. Rebecca is a regional manager for the library system and offers what she's been reading, but also has some ideas that might spur your own reading at home, as well as some of the library's resources that you can turn to now, even though the physical locations are closed. Rebecca Howard joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Rebecca Howard, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Many of us are now 3 weeks into shelter in place, and we've probably caught up on our sort of reading stack at home that we've been meaning to read, and we've binge-watched all of our favorite shows, and we're caught up. So we need ways to spend time at home. So what we really need is some ideas for reading in place, and I think you've got some for us, right?
I do. I've got some ideas for readers who are maybe having a little bit of difficulty concentrating on reading. That is happening. I know it sounds strange because you're almost in a reader's paradise right now where you're in your house, you can't go anywhere, and you should be able to read with abandon. But a lot of us are having trouble really quieting our minds enough to fully enjoy reading. So I have some suggestions to help. First of all, this is the time to pull out your poetry books. A lot of us have them and they're sitting on our shelves, or we've read them in the past, or maybe they're old college textbooks. But one of my favorite go-to poets who is very accessible is Mary Oliver. I know people are frequently mentioning her these days because of her, like I said, very accessible language, but also there's a peacefulness to her poetry that causes us to sort of just be still, to breathe in nature, to get outside, to really sort of look at the beauty of the world. And right now it's springtime, and for those of us who are struggling with all the pollen in the air, that it may not be entirely a utopia, but it is certainly beautiful. Tulsa does spring so well. And so I've been reading Mary Oliver. My recommendations is to pick up the book Devotions, which is a 2017 compilation of selected works. And of course, that is also available at your library, I would have to say. You can get that through ebook. But read the poems out loud. You know, poetry is meant to be experienced out loud. And so it's something to start the day with. If you've got kids at home, kids can really enjoy poetry as well and reading out loud. And it's a great way to just set your intention for the day. Just read one of these wonderful poems from Mary Oliver. And that is, again, Devotions. It's the last collection of hers that was published before her death. And it's an amazing resource, I think, for you right now.
And give us a sense of the subject matter. Is it about sort of thinking about nature? Is it about thinking about breathing in the breath of life? Or what exactly?
Absolutely. So Mary Oliver writes almost exclusively about the natural world. And her poems have definitely a spiritual undertone to them. Where she finds the divine is through her experience in nature. And so, you know, in this time where we really have to live in the moment, we have no other choice right now but to live day by day, hour by hour. Reading one of these poems can just really just sort of give you a sense of calm. She writes just beautiful poetry about the leaves and the grass and snakes and squirrels. And it's a kind of looking at the world through a magnifying glass and really just being present in that and experiencing that to its fullness. So it's a wonderful thing to read right now. Poetry in general is something I turn to again and again when times may be a little challenging and you want to remind yourself of the beauty of the world.
Now, I might add a suggestion. I hadn't really thought of reading poetry at this time, but I'm going to do that tonight. And what I have found I've needed is just good belly laughs. And I think of Billy Collins.
I was going to say, Billy Collins is another favorite of mine. And he's got some really just funny poems, like you said.
Right. Observational poems that just sort of just very wry humor, and it does put you in a good mood always. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on from poetry. Give us some other suggestions.
So if you are also continuing maybe to struggle with some concentration, I know when I sit down to read, you know, I'll realize that soon after I'm thinking about, like, am I going to get my delivery slot time on the online app that I'm using for growing? I mean, it's crazy. So short stories. Short stories are a wonderful way to experience literature, but you're getting that in short bites. And it's really wonderful for you, especially if you're trying to sneak in some reading between, you know, a lot of us are working from home right now, or we are helping children with homeschool, or we're also, you know, trying to check in with elderly parents. So short stories, and one of my favorite short story collections, which I actually have tapped back into, it's 20 years old this year, is The Interpreter of Maladies by Jhumpa Lahiri. Jhumpa Lahiri is an amazing author. This was her first published work, a collection of short stories. It won the Pulitzer Prize. She's also the author of several novels. Interpreter of Maladies, I think what I love about it is, again, it's the language. So for those who really enjoy and appreciate just the beauty of language and the way someone puts words together in a way that almost makes you sort of have to pause and take a deep breath, Jhumpa Lahiri is a wonderful author to read. But I think one of my favorite short stories of all time is in this collection, and it's called A Temporary Matter. And I was rereading it last night because I wanted to have it fresh in my mind. And it's a story about two Indian immigrants. They're a married couple, and they're grieving the loss of a child. And the electric company is having to do some maintenance work, and they are shutting off their electricity every evening that week at 8 o'clock. And so it's a story about disruption and a disruption of routine and how that disruption allows this couple to sort of bridge the wall that they've put up between each other for various reasons. But I think it's very timely, and it's such a unique frame for a story. The temporary matter is that, you know, the electricity is going to go out every night at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so how they have to sort of navigate around that and what that does for their relationship and their ability to communicate honestly. But this is full of just beautiful stories that are anywhere from, you know, 20 to 40 pages long, perfect for dipping into and then coming back to throughout the day as we're sort of needing some comfort and solace. And that's Interpreter of Maladies.
My guest today is Rebecca Howard. She is a Tulsa City County Library's regional manager, one of the regional managers. And she's been talking books for us about the last year or so here on Public Radio Tulsa. And she joins us today with some suggestions for reading in place. What's next?
Okay, so here's a literary confession. We all have literary confessions. The authors that we should have read, but we never did. So I have never read anything by Wallace Stegner, and so I have put, Angle of Repose is like one of Nancy Pearl's go-to recommendations, and I have never read it. And I'm not going to talk about that one because I still haven't read it. There's my literary confession. But for my book club at the library this month, we chose Crossing to Safety, which was his last novel to be published. It was published in 1987. And that has been such a joy to read. I like promoting these older books that we may have missed. So often we're so interested in following what the newest release is and what's out right now, right this moment, that we forget to go back and sort of read those books that are fantastic reads. So Crossing to Safety is Wallace Stegner's semi-autobiographical novel. And it is just simply the story of friendship that spans 40 years. And that is truly the plot in a nutshell. It is a quiet and kind of a slow burn novel in the sense that it really causes you to slow down, to read each sentence. Wallace Stegner writes beautiful landscapes, just such a strong sense of place in this novel. It's the story of two couples, kind of they're growing up together in a sense. They meet when they are young, and it's their life journey together. So it's the story of Sid and Charity Lang and Larry and Sally Morgan. And the story is narrated through Larry Morgan's perspective. But it follows their careers. It follows their marriages. And it's really just a story of lifelong, enduring friendship. And I think at a time when we're really missing those connections, this was just a great time to be reading a novel that where you're not worried about anything horrific happening. Nothing horrific is going to happen. There's no monsters. It's just the stuff of everyday life. And there are challenging things, of course, that happen because that's everyday life. But ultimately, just the story of how much we need connection in our lives. And it was just a beautiful read. And I would encourage people who haven't, who maybe like me have not read Wallace Stegner to go back and tap into that a little bit. And Angle of Repose, I promise, will be on my to-be-read list. It's one of those, it's like, wow, how did I miss Wallace Stegner? I just have.
A lot of times that's one of the best things about reading is you maybe find one of the lesser novels and all of a sudden you go, wow, how did I miss this author? Yeah. Then you go back and devour everything they wrote.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful
and
experience.
I think it's a great piece of advice to just go through your library and pick up an old friend that you hadn't picked up in 15, 20 years, that you thought enough of that book to hold on to it and to keep it on the shelf somewhere, and pick it up and figure out why you decided to keep that book.
And we're also never the same novel again,
yeah,
because you're not the same person. So you can always reread, and that's a great suggestion.
Do you have one piece of maybe a new book that's out there that people ought to be thinking about today?
Well, I can tell you what's on my nightstand right now that I cannot wait to get into. And as soon as I finish up some other books I'm working on for different projects, Louise Erdrich has a new novel that came out in March, and it is The Night Watchman. That is one I'm really excited to jump right into. The story is based on the story of her grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who, if you haven't read Louise Erdrich, now would be a wonderful time to do that. A lot of her characters reappear in several of her novels. So she creates these whole beautiful worlds. And her characters are just the most memorable characters. And she also, of course, has that wonderful, beautiful lyrical language that we've come to just sort of know and love from her. But that's The Night Watchman. And that, like I said, just came out in March. So it's always a delight to read a new Louise Erdrich book for me.
All right. Well, you know, in addition to ebooks and films from the library has a whole range of media and learning tools out there that you can still access even though the actual library is closed. I was going to just ask you in our last couple of minutes, what are some of those that are available that people might not associate with the library that maybe you're turning to or other people are turning to during this time?
Sure. Well, I will highlight just two, and there are many more. But the first one I think of is called Mango Languages, and that is a language learning tool that is absolutely free with your library card, and there's also an app, so you can use it on your phone, but it allows you to learn a number of languages. I can't even tell you how many right now, but for a lot of library staff, we are brushing up on Spanish to be able to communicate better with some of our Spanish-speaking customers. And And it's a wonderful resource, absolutely free, like I said, with your library card, and is available on an app, so you can take it with you. When you're outside walking, you can just put in your earphones and learn some new languages. And then another resource that some of us are turning to right now is called Artist Works. And it's a variety of lessons, a lot of music lessons. So, like, for example, there's... You can learn how to play guitar, or you can learn how to play the ukulele, or you can learn. There's a ton of musical instruments that you can take advantage of. They're free. It's video instruction. And so that would also be a lot of fun if you've got, you know, I have a ukulele in my closet that I once upon a time knew how to play. So you might just pull that out again, and apologies to your family members. and maybe your neighbors. But, you know, creativity is such a great outlet. And so that's Artist Works. And, you know, it's great for kids, too, if they maybe have a little guitar at home or a musical instrument that they're wanting to practice. Maybe they can't go to lessons. Check out Artist Works.
All right. Well, Rebecca, thanks for those suggestions today. And stay safe and stay healthy. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you. My pleasure.
Rebecca Howard sharing a few reading suggestions today on Studio Tulsa. She is our book reviewer on Studio Tulsa and for Public Radio Tulsa. She is a regional manager for the Tulsa City County Library System. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Up next on Studio Tulsa, we'll hear from the programmer for the Circle Cinema, which, although it's closed, is still offering films to the public. Chuck Foxen tells us what he's been watching, as well as ways you can support the Circle Cinema by watching virtually. Chuck Foxen, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, KWGS, for everything there, all the coverage they're doing
too. Oh, well, thank you. You're so kind. Most of us right now are, when we're not watching the news, we're moving right through our saved list of films and TV shows on our favorite streaming services. And, you know, right now, mainstream theatrical films are being delayed, and I guess streaming providers are just pushing out projects as quickly as they can. What are you watching these days that have caught your eye for either binge watching or theatrical films that are showing up on streaming providers or through different avenues?
The thing that's real relevant to me right now, mostly, and it's stuff that I watch occasionally, is a lot of like the late night shows, Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert. I just like their approach to doing the real authentic kind of giving them like a slice of life, how they're spending time with their family. And I like it.
It's almost like a cinema verite in a lot of ways. And they're still trying to, you know, they still make some jokes, but mainly it's more about living life today, day to day in a pandemic.
Yeah, very interesting. There's just something really comforting about watching it. I just been really attracted to that for some reason.
What strikes you as comforting about it?
Maybe just the fact that they're sharing their lives. You know, you get to see their vulnerabilities, their insecurities, and their fears as well, and then just the comedy and the humor in it, and just the weird parts of life. Just, I don't know, it's all about the appreciation of things, I think.
Yeah. Beyond late night, what are you watching these days, and what could you recommend for us?
Obviously, the big one that's going around, buzzing around everywhere, is that Tiger King on Netflix, a documentary about Joe Exotic. That one's been really hot and got a lot of kicks out of that. And then, you know, this year has been interesting for film releases because film festivals and bookings just had to be canceled. Just one day just stopped. And so distributors have been being very creative with outlets for these films and going day and date, which is, you know, they'll release a film in a theater and streaming at the same time. And they've also allowed us to do, independent cinemas, to do these virtual screenings.
Now, how does virtual screenings work?
Instead of coming to the cinema, you go to our website to see what we have to offer. And it's basically, you watch it from like, it's basically like a Netflix or Amazon, anything like that kind of streaming service. But what the distributors are letting us do these screenings, and 50% of the proceeds will go back to Circle Cinema. And so we've been working with a couple different distributors. Right now we're showing films from Magnolia, which is one of our regular distributors we work with. It's interesting. It's a lot different, but it's what we can do now, and we're still out there trying to bring films to our community of film lovers.
Now, give us a sense of some of the films that you can see right now.
We have a list of things from Magnolia right now. One I would suggest, if you're a fan of the band like I am, is Once We're Brothers. And that's a documentary about, you know, the history of the band, which is famous for being the band that played with Bob Dylan as he was going through the transformation from folk to rock, and then up to their last performance, which is the last waltz. But that one is definitely a top pick. Even just coming up, next week we're opening up other films from Kino Lorber, which is also another distributor. Let's see, Bakaru is a film we saw at Toronto International. We had a planned booking of that, but we had to cancel it. And that one's one, if you like watching weird, strange films, it's a drama, mystery, Brazilian film, and has stars like some local actors in it. That one is actually it's about a small Brazilian town. In this town, they start disappearing on different maps. People start trying to find out how to get there on these maps, and they start disappearing. And weird, strange members of their community start disappearing. And then there's a UFO in the film. So it's just kind of a weird indie hit at TIFF this year, mm-hmm. That everybody really liked.
Now, you mentioned the film festival circuit is drying up, as you might expect. And really, independent films really depend on that festival circuit to get eyes on their film and get bookings. What do you think this pandemic's going to do in the case of independent film? Do you think they'll find different venues to get their product to people's eyes, or is this going to really hurt independent film overall?
Yeah, short term, I feel really bad for the films. Think about people that got into South by Southwest. Say it's their first film. They got that lucky break of someone seeing it and loving it, and then all of a sudden, there's no film festival. So short term, you know, it really does affect a lot of these filmmakers that, you know, made it into a festival or were depending on a festival. The Circle Cinema goes to different festivals around the year to program films for what we bring back to Tulsa. So South by Southwest was one we were going to program our film festival, Circle Cinema Film Festival. So I don't know, we're kind of waiting to see what happens and what comes out of that. It's going to have to be some creativity and, you know, use of technology short term to fix these things until we can get back to normal.
Well, what are some of the other things that you're seeing either on streaming services or through the Circle Cinema streaming service that you're working with distributors that really sort of catch your eye these days?
You know, another film that we are working with that's kind of still mission-based, which is community consciousness through film at Circle Cinema, is and that's bringing the community, which seems like a weird scenario, but just in a different way, is this fantastic fungi screening that we'll be doing on April 21st. And that one's actually backed by popular demand. And we had an additional showing that got canceled. But this one is just about, you know, the mushrooms and what they do for the environment. And, you know, people are starting to use mushrooms. I've seen that they're growing in Chernobyl. You know, they're growing in like some of these areas and like, you know, old oil films, kind of like cleaning up some of these areas. But this film's called Fantastic Fungi. And with this film, there'll be a live Q&A following the film, and people that log in and watch this will be able to join in on that, which is pretty cool, which is keeping that community thing together.
And so this is a documentary, obviously.
Documentary, yeah. And so, you know, the Green Country Sierra Club is a partner on this one, and so is the OK Fungi, which are two groups that have helped us in the past with this film. But it's a locally connected groups of people helping support it, plus there'll be a conversation that everybody will be able to jump in on and listen.
Now, Magnolia Films and the other film distributor you mentioned, I mean, Magnolia Films is a fairly large independent film distributor, but do you expect to see more of these distributors go to this model of working with independent film houses to sort of present virtual showings down the road?
I'm not really sure. I think that just kind of short term, it's a Band-Aid on the scenario. You know, I think a lot of it comes with people, a lot of the ticket sales are coming with people that are trying to support Circle Cinema versus just going out to watch these films. So I'm not really sure about that and how that's going to work out, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So as I'm sure the start date for actually showing films at the cinema is still a very much an unknown date at this point, what are you guys doing to make sure that Circle Cinema is this independent voice for cinema in the city?
Well, we shut down early March.
Right.
Kind of before, just as the fear for our guests and people that work there when all this stuff was kind of coming around us, it was scary. We didn't know what was going on. So we shut our doors and then, you know, inside we kept, you know, we were working on different projects and all that kind of stuff, trying to figure out what we were going to do. And, you know, thanks to that stimulus, it's allowed us for everybody to stay on full time. So currently we're still, you know, it takes the same amount of work to get these virtual screenings set up and promoted and, you know, added to websites and social media and all that, that it does when we're running normally. When we reopen, we're going to have to start thinking about, you know, it's not going to be back like it was, right, where everybody's jammed into a 200-seat theater. So we, you know, before we were taking precautions of like sanitizing the seats and gloves and, you know, everything we could do. But when we reopen, we're going to, you know, have to look at some of those things again, maybe offer people masks and, you know, just see what works and what we can do to make it a safe place to watch films for everybody to come back to.
Yeah, social distancing at a movie theater doesn't sound like the two terms go well together.
No, neither does restaurants and really the normal life that we had before, you know?
Right. Well, any final words as far as films, television shows that people should be thinking of that might fill the time until that date when Circle Cinema is open?
Well, you know, keep an eye out. There's a lot of stuff on streaming networks right now, Netflix and Amazon and Disney Plus and HBO. It's like everybody's got one of those streaming platforms. If you're in a situation where you can still afford to pay for those, there's tons of options on there for entertainment. If you'd like to help the Circle, you can go to circlecinema.org to like rent these films. There's a donation thing and just keep an eye on what's going on, when we're going to reopen and all that. Just keep an eye out.
Well, Chuck, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Chuck Foxen is the programmer for the Circle Cinema here in Tulsa. For more information on the virtual showings and ways you can help the Circle Cinema, visit circlecinema.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay healthy.